We welcome you this morning to another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program. We are studying Psalm 119, the great psalm about the Word of God. It is known as the longest psalm with 176 verses. It has 22 stanzas of 8 verses apiece. Each stanza begins with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. There are 8 verses in each stanza, and each verse begins with a Hebrew letter, and then the next set of 8 verses starts with the next letter, and so forth, all the way through the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. We looked last week at the first 5 stanzas of this great psalm, and today we will look at 5 more. The Hebrew letters being Vav, Zion, Heth, Teth, and Yod. And we continue this great theme of the Word of God and what the Word of God will do for us. Friends, we want the Word of God to be in your life. That's what we are about primarily at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ, is to bring us into a right relationship to Jesus Christ, be a church belonging to Christ, a church of Christ, through the New Testament scriptures. And we live in a world where the Word of God has been on decline for several years. Many people do not read or know or understand their Bible when they could read and know and understand, but they've chosen not to. And we want to have a revival, if you will, and get that Word of God back in our lives. And Psalm 119 helps us to understand the great value of having God's Word in our life. So let's look at the next 5 characteristics of the Word of God. This morning, we're going to look at liberty, remembrance, portion, affliction, and spiritual life. So let's look at it. Psalm 119, beginning in verse 41. Let thy loving kindness also come unto me, O Jehovah. The version that I use for the Hebrew word Yahweh, meaning the eternal one, I am that I am, uses the English word Jehovah. We're talking about that characteristic of God that is eternal in nature. Let thy loving kindness also come unto me, O Jehovah, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have an answer for him that reproaches me, for I trust in thy word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thine ordinances. So shall I observe thy law continually for ever and ever. And I shall walk at liberty, for I have sought thy precepts. I will also speak of thy testimonies before kings, and shall not be put to shame. I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. I will lift up my hands also unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate on thy statutes. You may recall last week that I said that I just want to bring out one characteristic in each stanza about the Word of God. Every verse is packed full of many, many lessons that could be discussed. I just simply want to pull out one key word. And for this stanza that we begin with this morning, I want to pull out the word liberty. From verse 45, I shall walk at liberty, for I have sought thy precepts. The Word of God frees us, friends. It frees us. If we will obey it, if we will obey the New Testament gospel plan of salvation, we can be free from sin. We can be free from human tradition. We can be free from the bondage and the consequences of sin and come up out of a worldly life that is dragging us down. We can be free. We can walk at liberty. And what a great thing that is. And notice that it comes by seeking God's word. It's not our own liberty in the sense that we say how we can be free from sin, but it's free from sin as I have sought thy precepts. We have to be baptized into Christ. We have to repent and be baptized for the remission of our sins, Acts chapter 2, verse 38. If we want freedom from sin, we have to follow that according to God's word, but we can be free. People are borne down by guilt. People are borne down by feelings that are causing problems for them, and they can be free of these things. God's word can even help us to be free from addictions. And what a great thing that is, freedom. I will walk at liberty. And so it comes when we love God's word. You may have noticed twice in this particular stanza that we read, verse 47, thy word which I have loved, thy commandments which I have loved, and then again in verse 48, the commandments which I have loved. We've got to love God's word and put a premium on God's word, and it'll set us free. Some people are bound to man-made religions. It will set you free from that. Man-made traditions, man-made philosophies and wisdom. It'll set us free from all of that, and we can have God's wisdom and God's truth, and we can have the New Testament church instead of human denominations, and we can have freedom of sin. What a great thing that is. Don't you want freedom, friends? But I want to say one other thing before we move along, and that is, this is not freedom to do anything you want, believe anything you want, act any way you want, but it's freedom in the context of observing thy law. It's freedom from things, but it's also within the boundaries of God's word. Paul says that we have been set free, but don't use our freedom as an occasion to the flesh, Galatians 5. And so it's freedom from these things, but we also have to live according to God's word. It's not freedom to think and act any way we want, but freedom from these things like sin within the confines of God's word. And really, if you stop and think about it, that's where true freedom comes. When I obey the laws of the land, I have freedom. When I obey traffic laws, for example, I have freedom to drive. I have the freedom to drive whenever I want, wherever I want. But I drive the speed limit. I stop at a stop sign. I stop at a red light. I yield. But when we obey the laws of the land, we have the freedom to roam about in our vehicle. So those are not contrary to each other, freedom and law. They're not. It's freedom within law. And what a great thing that is. Then, verses 49 through 56, the quality or the characteristic that I'd like to look at is the matter of remembrance. When we remember God's word and put it into practice in our life, He remembers us and blesses us. Let's look at Psalm 119, verse 49 through 56. Remember the word unto thy servant, because thou hast made me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not swerved from thy law. I have remembered thine ordinances of old, O Jehovah, and have comforted myself. Hot indignation has taken hold upon me because the wicked that forsake thy law. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Jehovah, in the night. I have observed thy law. This I have had because I have kept thy precepts. Three times in this stanza, the psalmist says, remember, remember, remember. And that is something that we always have to keep in our mind. We have to read it and know it and then remember it, call it to mind. Remembering God's word brings hope verse 49. Remembering God's word brings comfort, verse 50. We're going to talk about affliction later in our lesson today. And we can be comforted in the midst of affliction by God's word. Remembering God's word can take place in our singing. He remembered God's word and he sang about it. And then, verse 55, remembering God's word in the nighttime. I have remembered thy name, O Jehovah, in the night, and I have observed thy law. To think about the name, the character, and the authority of God is to think about his word. And he's going to do that at night. What a great way to close the night, by just reading a portion of God's word right before you go to bed. The first thing you do when you get up, and the last thing you do before you go to bed. And remembering God's word even when others will not. He speaks of those who are proud and those who have him in derision, those who don't like him. There's going to be people out in the world, friends, that don't remember God's word. They don't care anything about it. But you have it in your life, and you follow it, and you remember it. You remember it when you're feeling down. It'll pick you up. You remember it when you are tempted with temptation, and you will stay away from that sin. You remember it when you're around others and you need to guard your tongue or act a certain way. Remembering God's word, calling that to mind. Remembering God's word when you need to teach someone something that is important in their life. Remembrance. But the only way we can have that is if we are daily around the word of God in our personal lives, coming together with other Christians on Sunday to hear a portion of God's word, then we can carry it with us the rest of the week. What a great thought that is. The next characteristic of God's word is that of portion. By following God's word, we can be a part of God's possession, or God's portion. We can be in his family. In other words, we can receive a spiritual inheritance because we are in God's family. Let's look at what the psalmist wrote in verses 57 through 64. 57 through 64. Jehovah is my portion. The word portion here means a possession, a territory. In other words, what we're going to be given as a child of God by being in his family. Jehovah is my portion. I have said that I would observe thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways and turned unto my feet. And turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to observe thy commandments. The cords of the wicked have wrapped me round, but I have not forgotten thy law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous ordinances. I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that observe thy precepts. The earth, O Jehovah, is full of thy loving kindness. Teach me thy statutes. The psalmist says, Jehovah is my portion. Jehovah is my portion. He is my territory, if you will. He is my possession. We can be partakers with Christ, Hebrews 3:14. We can be in the kingdom of God's Son, Colossians 1:13. We can share in the inheritance of the saints of light, Colossians 1:12. We have an inheritance that is reserved in heaven, 1 Peter 1:3 and 4. So we need to obey God's word and be in God's family. We need to seek God's favor. I have sought your favor with my whole heart. We need to obey God without delay. We can be in God's family if we will turn around. Verse 59 and verse 60 are some of my favorite verses in this psalm because it talks about a very important activity, and that is to think on our ways, to think about the life that we're living and turn around and turn my feet unto thy testimonies. We call that repentance. It starts with thinking, I'm lost, I'm not right with God, and then I need to turn around. And number three, I made haste and delayed not. I don't need to procrastinate. And number four, to observe thy commandments. We need to obey God's word without delay. Can we do those things? Can we think on our ways? Paul said in 2 Corinthians 13:5, test yourself, examine yourself. Can we do that? Can we turn our feet around from a life of sin to following God? Can we make haste? Today is the day of salvation, Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 6:1-2. Can we observe God's word? And then at midnight, I will rise to give thanks. We must never forget God's law. And then we're going to surround ourselves with other people who are in God's family. I am a companion of all them that fear thee. Let's be a part of God's heritage, God's portion, God's inheritance, and let's be a part of God's family. What a great possession we can have. You know, there's so many people that want to possess material things. They don't think about a spiritual inheritance. They don't think about a spiritual family. I've got a car, I've got a house, I've got money in the bank, I've got all these physical toys, I got a big screen TV and a cell phone and a fast internet and fast computer and all kinds of hobbies and toys and things that we can play with. And there's nothing wrong with those things in and of themselves, but do we have any spiritual inheritance? Do we have any spiritual family? Do we have a home reserved in heaven awaiting us because we're striving to live the godly Christian life? If the answer is no, friends, let's make God our portion, our possession, our inheritance. Then, if you'll come with me to verse 65, the psalmist is going to write about affliction. Affliction is our next word. And there are going to be times in our life when we are afflicted. One of the first things that we think about when we think about affliction is that which is coming from the outside of us, from other individuals, people that don't like us. And there is that kind of affliction, but we're also going to see today something maybe that we don't think about, and that is affliction can also come from God. Because we're not living right, God can send us affliction to turn us around and get us to change, get us to wake up. He did that with the prodigal son. Through his providence, he brought him down. Through the young man's own choices and through God's providence, he brought him down to a very low point in his life. And he turned around and came back to his father. And so God can even afflict us. And when that happens, the psalmist is going to say that, Lord, I turned to your word and I came back to you in this time of affliction. So let's look at affliction now in Psalm 119, 65 through 72. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Jehovah, according unto thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed in thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I observe thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me. With my whole heart will I keep thy precepts. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. that I may learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. And we're going to talk about more affliction in the next stanza. But this psalmist has been afflicted. Notice in verse 65 and 66 that things are going well with him because he's following God's word. But in verse 67, he went astray. And that is natural, that is common, that is something that is going to happen where a person can be living faithfully one day, following God's word, and they slip up, they go astray, they commit a sin. But they need to come back to God. So you have both doing well, things are going well with a person because he's following God's word, and then he goes astray, and God afflicts him for that. And so affliction can come from people who are persecuting us, but affliction can also come from God sending us a message, if you will. And he does that. In the Old Testament, he did that with prophets. He sent Nathan to David and said, "You are the man." And Paul said to Timothy with regard to his preaching that he would reprove and rebuke. And Jesus said to the church at Laodicea, "Those whom I reprove and discipline or chasten, I love those whom I reprove." God sends us affliction in the form of his word, and it should cause us to come back. And notice something that is overlooked today. Verse 71, you underscore this in your Bible. "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn thy statutes." You underscore that in your Bible. Today, people say, well, if something's negative, that's not good for us. No, friends, negative things, affliction, can be good for us. It causes us to turn to God and his word. Whether it's people afflicting us, whether it's natural events that cause affliction, whether it's God through his providence causing us affliction, it's good for us. It brings us back. It wakes us up. It causes us to draw upon the Lord. In times of affliction and weakness and hurt and pain, we reach out to God. Often when that doesn't happen, we're living a life and God is not in our life because things are going great in our life and we don't have time for God. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. Why? That I may learn thy statutes. I like the word good that is used in this stanza. You are good and doest good, and it is good for me that I have been afflicted. God is good, friends. God is good. And even negative things, what we call negative things, are good for us. That's why at the end of this stanza, he says, "The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver." Boy, if you gave somebody a choice between the word of God and thousands of gold and silver, many people would take the gold and silver. Would you take the word of God over that? Would I take the word of God over that? Well, it's the very thing that allows us to go to heaven. And so, yes, I want to take the word of God over thousands of gold and silver. Because when I'm dead and I have to face God in the judgment day, I want to be able to go to heaven. And that's a lot better than thousands of gold and silver that I can't even take with me. And I could take it and buy a bunch of stuff in this life, but it wouldn't have anything to do with the life to come. So God is good, and even affliction is good for me. And whether it's physical in nature, diseases, cancer, old age, we've had hailstorms, tornadoes, hurricanes that causes problems, health problems, problems at work and our neighbors and school and other kinds of things. It's good for us. It gives us character. It gives us steadfastness and character and hope, and it's good for us. And then let's look at one last section for today, one last stanza for today, and that is the Psalm 119 beginning in verse 73, life, spiritual life. We get physical life from God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He made the first man and woman. We get physical life from God, but we also get spiritual life from God, and that is when sin is removed and we are in fellowship with God. Spiritual life, eternal life. Let's look at Psalm 119, verse 73. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. They that fear thee shall see me and be glad, because I have hoped in thy word. I know, O Jehovah, that thy judgments are righteous, and that in faithfulness thou hast afflicted me. That's why I said earlier that sometimes even affliction comes from God to bring us back to his way. And that in thy faithfulness thou hast afflicted me. Verse 76, let, I pray thee, thy loving kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Let the proud be put to shame, for they have overthrown me wrongfully, but I will meditate on thy precepts. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and they shall know thy testimonies. Let my heart be perfect in thy statutes, that I be not put to shame. So, verse 77, let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy law is my delight. God gives us physical life. Verse 73, thy hands have made me and fashioned me. There's another psalm, Psalm 139, where the psalmist talks about how that he is fearfully and wonderfully made in the womb by God. God gives us physical life. God is our creator. And the sooner we recognize that, the sooner we can come to him. But he's also the giver of spiritual life. And today, that spiritual life is in Jesus Christ. Friends, will you come and obey the word of God so that you can have that spiritual life and be saved through Jesus Christ? We can walk in newness of life, Romans 6:4, in newness of life, because we have been baptized into Christ. We have obeyed the gospel. Friends, let's have the word of God in our life. It will set us free from sin, liberty. It's something that we must always remember. It is something that gives us a portion and an inheritance with God. It helps us in our affliction, and it gives us spiritual life. Thank you for being with us today on the program, and I hope that you'll have a good day.